Let's see what we can get done tonight, our last year for the summer. I just want to thank everybody for coming over the course of the summer and being mechazek my learning over the course of the summer. Hopefully it was mechazek your learning as well. I certainly feel like I have a much fuzzier picture of Hilchos Mitzvos right now. I've become thoroughly confused. I know enough to be very confused about Hilchos Mitzvos, and hopefully you have some clarity on some issues in this very important and very nogei lemaisa area of halacha. But again, just really thank you for coming and being mechazek my learning. Summertime is a very difficult time because I really like teaching Torah and don't get to do as much of it during the summer. So you sort of saved me over here. Let's try to get through whatever we can over here. So we're going to discuss places that don't require mezuzah because it's a tashmish bazui. That is a direct it's a direct outgrowth of our last discussion, which was about storage facilities. Because somewhere in the middle of the discussion about storage, the Gemara already, and the Rishonim started talking about, well, you know, if it's used for women to be misnaos, miskashtos, to dress and to what, so then it wouldn't be chayv mezuzah because it's not an appropriate place to put a mezuzah. So the Gemara was mechalik between two different types of uses. If a woman stam puts on makeup over there or something like that, so that's a wonderful thing. That's a way that's considered a normal way of living, and that would be chayv mezuzah. But if a woman is often undressed there, and as Privilege pointed out, it's lavdafka woman, a man also, right? L'chorah should be a man also that's undressed there. It's just it's a bit of a bizayin, and that wouldn't be an appropriate. That would be a ptur. That would be an inappropriate place to put a mezuzah. So it seems that the Gemara is explicit in Yuma Daf Yud Aleph that a room that people are frequently undressed should not have a mezuzah. And that's why bathroom, shower, the very usage of that room is a room where people are supposed to be undressed. That's the way the room is used. Mimela, it's not chayiv in mezuzah. Meaning, one might have thought, let's say, that our modern bathrooms don't have a mezuzah because there's a toilet there, and that's really the disgusting part. It's the tzoa. But what if you have just a shower room, a locker room, or something like that with just showers? So that too, l'chora, according to the Gemara's definition, should not require a mezuzah because people are there undressed. Now, the Bach, quoted by the Shach, in Yerodei Reish Pei Vav Sivkot and Taz, source number 31 in the second to last packet, writes that that it would turn out that he says maybe that's why the minig is she'enos and mezuzah kiim bepesach habayis hasamuch l'rishus rabbim. There was this minhag that was apparently very widespread, because the Rama mentions it, the Bach tries to justify it, the Rama rejects it. The Bach tries to justify it, this minhag to only put one mezuzah on each house, no matter how many rooms you have in the house. He says, maybe that's the explanation, because the main entranceway to the house, usually in the main hallway, there's nothing, no one walks around undressed, there's nothing going on, no one's defecating, you're urinating in that area of the house. But in these other rooms, there's all sorts of stuff going on, so you don't want to take any chances, we just don't put any mezuzahs in any of the other rooms. So the Bach wants to say that we don't put a mezuzah because of that reason. Now the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama really, completely rejects that. It's source number 16 in the packet, but the Rama completely rejects that shita, and he says that the only time where you're going to have a special patur from mezuzah because people are there undressed is only when the primary usage of the room is to bathe in that room. But if it's not the primary usage of the room to bathe in that room or to be undressed in that room, it just happens to be a place where you also happen to be undressed sometimes, like a bedroom where you change your clothing, but it's not really meant only for changing clothing. Primarily it's meant as your private area, your place to sleep, your place to to hide away when you don't want to hang out with other people. It's just your private area to live. It's your living space. So that should require a mezuzah. So the Rama writes, you should just, the ideal best way to do it is put it in a way that it's that when the door closes, the mezuzah is on the outside. Because most of the time when people change in their rooms, they close the door. So if you're closing the door, the mezuzah will be on the outside, and then you'll solve all the problems. Now there is another halacha in terms of a married couple that we always teach in chasm classes about covering a mezuzah during tashmish shamita. Meaning if the halacha is that standing undressed in front of a mezuzah is considered to be a bizayon, it's considered to be a tashmish shal bizayon. So certainly having tashmish shamita in in a room where there's a mezuzah l'chora should be a problem. But so the post can have a discussion. So what do you do? Master bedroom in a house. Should it have a mezuzah? Should it not have a mezuzah? So the Shach in Sifkat and Tess, in that same Shach, the Shach writes that bedroom mezuzah should be covered so that Tashmish Shamita should not be a problem. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes from the Magen Avraham that in order to have Tashmish Shamita in a room that has a mezuzah, you need a kli b'toch kli. The mezuzah needs a double covering. Where have you heard this before? You always talk about this when it comes to the pocket benchers. Right? How can you go into the bathroom with a pocket bencher in your pocket? Kli b'toch kli. If it's in a double covering, then that's going to be okay. Now, a bathroom is pater from mezuzah because people stand there undressed. The bedroom is not pater because it's not an objectively unclean place. You only happen to do occasional unclean activities there or occasionally stand there undressed. So it does need a mezuzah. You just need to do a kli b'toch kli. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan understands the Shach. However, the Aruch HaShulchan himself, in Sifei, the Aruch HaShulchan himself, in Resh Pei Vav Sifei, disagrees with the Shach. He says, you know, there is an explicit Gemara that tells you need a double covering in a room that you're having Tashmish Shamita. You need a double covering over tefillin and over svarim. That you can't have tefillin and svarim in the room when you're doing Tashmish Shamita. The Gemara was fully aware of the fact that most rooms also have a mezuzah. The Gemara probably could have thought of the possibility that there might be a mezuzah in the room when you're having Tashmish Shamita. So why didn't the Gemara say that? That just like it said by tefillin and svarim, which frankly are less likely to be in the room than a mezuzah is, so it says by svarim and tefillin you need to have a kli b'toch kli, but by mezuzah it doesn't mention it. So says the Aruch HaShulchan. So maybe you could say, oh, that's the Bach. Bedrooms don't need a mezuzah. He says, no, mehechi tesi. That the Gemara really should have said. If that's what it, he says, that would be a mistake to be medayik from the Gemara that a bedroom doesn't need a mezuzah. So elamai, what can you conclude? What you have to conclude is that it must be mutter to have tashmish shamita in a room that has a mezuzah, not a room that has svarim, not a room that has tefillin, but a room that has a mezuzah must be okay. Because you can't say the bedroom is putter, and you can't say the Gemara left out mezuzah and it mentions svarim and tefillin. But what's the svara? Why should a room that has a mezuzah be okay to have Tashmish Shamita? So the Aruch HaShulchan explains that it essentially as follows, that a room that is used as a bedroom, the same Torah that commands us to put up a mezuzah also commands us in the mitzvah of Pru Revu, and we don't view it as an act that's completely disgusting, we view it as an act of a certain level of Kedusha, and if that level of Kedusha is the way a normal couple is supposed to live, so Mela, that's normal living. That's considered normal living. It's a bit of a hard Svara, because it's normal living to bathe, and it's normal living to go to the bathroom also. That's also a normal thing to do. So it's not, we're not saying a person is bad when they're going to the bathroom. They're a good person, they're doing what they're supposed to do. You know, they're not a god who can't, you know, doesn't have any waste. But it's just normal living. So it's a bit of a difficult svar. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of the Gemara Nida, where the Gemara Nida says, very famous Gemara Nida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, b'shas zivug, and he's gozer. Is the person going to be tall or short? Chacham atipesh, smart or stupid? Is he going to be, you know, what all of the person's qualities? But the Gemara says, the one thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do when he's sitting there putting the ingredients into the person at the time of Tashmish, at the time of conception, is he doesn't decide whether the person is going to be tzaddik or rasha. That the person has to decide for himself. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the decision, everything else. But you see, the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there at the time of Tashmish. That is very, that distinguishes Judaism from other religions in a very clear way. In certain other major religions, the belief is that these kinds of activities are dirty and bad, and, you know, even though human beings have to do it, but really holy human beings don't do these things. Whereas in our religion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Hashem is involved in the process. So we view it as some higher calling. Maybe the nekuda is that it's a mitzvah, that Pru Revu is a mitzvah, that it even invites the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whereas there's actually an enhanced level of Hashra'as HaShechina during Tashmish HaMitah, where there would be a diminished level of Hashra'as HaShechina, whatever that means, not that we understand exactly what that means, but a diminished level of Hashra'as HaShechina when you're going to the bathroom, right? When you're in a bathroom. That's why the Mazikin are in the bathroom. The Gemara talks about all sorts of negative spiritual forces. What it means to have a negative spiritual force is that the absence of Kedusha is Tumah. Right, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls away a little bit, so that's where there's Tumah. The vacuum has to be filled with something, so it's filled with spiritual forces on the other side. But you don't have that by Tashmish HaMitah. The question?
Yeah, if that's true, why was the chilek between Mezuzah and
Tefillin and Sfarim? So the Aruch HaShulchan addresses that. He said Tefillin is very easy to remove from the room. So he thought that, you know, that might as well. And typically they're not left in the room, so there was no reason to assume that, you know, if you're going with the idea that the same Torah that says you should have a mezuzah on your door says you should have you should also have children, and you should conceive children, so you can't say that same svarim by tefillin and svarim, because the Torah never told you to put tefillin and svarim in your bedroom, but the Torah did tell you to put a mezuzah in your bedroom. So if the Torah is telling you to put mezuzah in your bedroom, that's right. That's, I think, the svara. Now, the next stage where this goes to, the Tashmish shall be Zion, is what about a jail cell? Now, you would say, well, who cares? Not nogeta from Jews. So, well, amode, it's not nogeta to from Jews, but sometimes nogeta to very religious Jews. You have to be mechalik, but anyway, the Beis Hillel on the side of the Shulchan Aruch suggests that jails shouldn't require a mezuzah because it's not considered a diras kavod. It's not considered. So yeah, that's a huge chiddush, by the way. You should realize Tashmish shall be zayon, meaning lack of diras kavod in terms of going to the bathroom, nashim omdos arumos, Tashmish Amita, is a very different kind of lack of diras kavod. And being in a jail, instead, meaning one is the first category that we discussed of diras kavod is how you use the room, what activities you do in the room. What the Beis Hillel is doing is he's extending this to not how you use the room, but to the circumstances around which you are in that room. That if you are in that room under forced circumstances, under circumstances which are challenging and difficult to you, that would not require a mezuzah. Now the truth is, as you saw, some of you showed me, pointed out, you got to the Gemara in source number 38, the Gemara Maseches Yuma. The Gemara in why do we talk about mezuzah in the middle of Yuma? Right? Yuma is Yom Kippur, so we have mostly half of Hilchos Mezuzah comes from Yuma, Daf Yud and Daf Yud Aleph, mostly Daf Yud Aleph. Where does it come to? The very first mission in Yuma tells us that we take the Kohen Gadol and we take him out of his house a week before Yom Kippur, and we put him in, what is it, Lishchas Palhedrin, we put him in a certain space where he has to live on the complex of the Beis HaMikdash, and once we're discussing that space, we're like, well, wait a second, the Kohen Gadol's got to live there, does he need a mezuzah? Does he have to put up a mezuzah while he's there? Oh, mezuzah! This is the way Talmud Bavli works. So then we get into a whole discussion of all of Hilchos Mezuzah. So that's why mezuzah ends up in Yuma. But that point where we first start discussing Hilchos Mezuzah is Yuma Daf Yuram and Beis, before we get to Daf Yuram of all the halachos. So the Gemara says that the Rabbanan hold, in general, Dira Bal Karcha Shma Dira. Even though we forced the Kohen Gadol to live there, forced living circumstances is called living, it's called the living quarters, and therefore he's chayiv in mezuzah. Midaraisa, he has to put a mezuzah there. Whereas the Rabbi Yehuda would hold, dira bal karcha, lo shma dira, that a place where you're forced to live in, that's not called living, that's not a normal dira. So, what does it mean it's not a normal dira? He is living there. Elamai, it's a second din in diras kavod. There's din of diras kavod of tashmish shall be zayon, which the Gemara talks about later, daf yad aleph. But lo shma dira means, in this context, that if the circumstances aren't kavodika circumstances, you're being forced in there, so that's also a chisaron in diras kavod. So that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, doesn't require a mezuzah. But says Rabbi Yehuda, the Kohen Gadol nevertheless needed a mezuzah midrabanan, it was a din drabanan, even though it's lo shma dira, because they didn't want it, and here's the key line, shelo yomru Kohen Gadol chavosh bebeis ha'asurin. If you don't put a mezuzah on the doorpost of the Kohen Gadol, people are going to say the Kohen Gadol's in jail. Right? Because why? Everyone will say, why is there no mezuzah? And they'll say, ah, there's no mezuzah there because it's a dira bal karcho. He's being forced into that dira. So everyone's going to say, Kohen Gadol's in jail. So what's the implication? If you actually are in jail, that you don't need a mezuzah. That's the implication of the Gemara. That's l'chora, the pasha pshat of the Gemara. That's what the Beis Hillel is based on. Now, the Birka Yosef and the Chida wrote a sefer Birka Yosef and Shulchan Aruch that one can only label something as not being a diras kavod. He thinks if you use it in a way not befitting the sanctity of a mezuzah. A jail cell is used, you know, what do people do in jail? They read books all day, I don't know if you believe Michael Vick, they think about their lives and how they're going to fix things, usually they discover God in jail, you know, they do all sorts of jail cell, they do, Adrab, it's the most respectful living they've done their entire lives, is in a jail cell. So it's not a diras kavod. He says when the Gemara says that if the Kohen Gadol didn't have a mezuzah, people would assume that he's in a jail. He says the Gemara is in that line, obviously assuming like Rabbi Yehuda's shita that a dira bal karcho is lo shma dira. He says, but why would we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda? We would pass on like the Rabbanan anyway that a dira bal karcho is shma dira. So yeah, it's true. The Gemara does mention this line about a jail not needing a mezuzah, but that's all within the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan al dira bal karcho shma dira does require a mezuzah. Mela, the jail cell would require a mezuzah. But, says Birka Yosef, maybe there's another reason why a jail cell would not require a mezuzah. The halacha is that any place that's not meant to live in permanently, its structure is not meant to house people on a permanent basis, even if you're there for 30 days or more, is not going to be chayv mezuzah. For instance, let's say you go on a boat and you're stuck on a boat for 2 months for whatever reason. So it could be that that's not chayv mezuzah because people typically don't live on a boat. It's not meant to be a place that you live. Now, a houseboat, we'll discuss later, may be different, meaning there is such a thing, and it's hard to imagine, like, I don't know what your life is like, very shaky. But it could be argued that the same is true for a jail cell. It's meant for, says Birka Yosef, it's meant for a short amount of time. It's meant to be lived in for a very limited amount of time. So, now, what about life sentences? Okay, there's some people that that are meant to be in jail forever. So I don't know. I don't know if it's always meant for a short amount of time. Okay, anyway, hopefully this isn't so no-gay. Where it could be no-gay is as follows. What if you have a hospital or a dorm in a school? Now, a hospital room is not made for people to live in. They're made for people to stay in until they get better, hopefully. Dorms and schools are not meant for people to live in. They're meant for you to stay there till you graduate, and then you're supposed to go out into a house you can stay in forever, theoretically. The dorm, after a while, they're going to say, you know, it's your 27th year in college. It's time to go. So if these places are made temporarily, and it's the school that's providing room and board as long as, you know, the school services are needed, so it could be that the Birka Yosef's Shita would play a role. Right, the Birka Yosef Shita, anything that's not meant to be a living space forever is not going to be chayv mezuzah. That would be a huge chiddush, right? Say the dorm rooms and yeshivas don't need a mezuzah at all because they're not meant to be homes. That's a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. I don't know if we'd rely on that Birka Yosef la'halacha, maybe in terms of a bracha, maybe to not make a bracha on it, but very difficult to rely on that la'halacha. Now, what about a maid's room in your house? If they have a living in a housekeeper or whatever, and so in your house you have a maid's room. So there are chashulchan paskins that if you have a room in your house set aside, I'm assuming it's a non-Jewish maid, set aside for a non-Jewish maid, so since it's still part of your house, you need to have a mezuzah on it, because it's in your house. You could argue that, what do you mean? It's not really the problem. When I own a home and I rent it out to a guy, so the guy is chayav, so I'm not, no one's chayav to a mezuzah. A guy is living there, it's chavas hadar, so there's no chayav mezuzah. Aren't I just really renting it out to the woman that's living there? What do you mean I'm renting it out? She's not paying me for it. So what? But she is paying me for it. She's paying me with the service of cleaning my house. This is part of her compensation. Her compensation is X number of dollars a week, depending on what neighborhood you live in, probably. X number of dollars a week plus room and board. That's part of her compensation. So one could have argued that should not require a mezuzah. She's like a socher. So my brother in his notes suggested that maybe there's room to be mechalik between situations where room and board are provided versus a typical rental where you are renting the room. So the maid isn't working to pay for the room and board. She's working for her salary. Elamai, once she's in the house working for her salary, it becomes the homeowner's responsibility to give her, to provide her the room and board. Meaning, there's a difference between compensation and perks. Right? There are certain perks to the job and certain compensation. When we started Yeshivat Lev Shlomo, so Hal told me one of the things you need to be doing is you need to go to Israel every year to recruit. It's like, aw, you know, like I love going to Israel. That's the greatest thing ever. I'm so happy about that. So that's a great perk of my job. Now, a ticket to Israel costs whatever it costs them, $1,200, $1,100, whatever it costs them to fly me to Israel. So you're going to say that that's part of my compensation? I don't view that as part of my compensation for whatever services I do for the school. So I don't think that's part of my compensation. It's a perk that you get. So it could be that the maid's room may be more similar to a guest room than to a rental agreement. Meaning you have a guest, so you give them a place to stay. So that's still considered part of your house, and therefore it should require a mezuzah. Now, let's go back to the hospitals and yeshivas, right? Think about a hospital where non-Jews are staying. The rooms aren't rented to the non-Jews. If it's a Jewish-owned hospital, it used to be hospitals in America the names still suggest, and there are still affiliations with particular religious groups, because it used to be that people refused to treat anyone who wasn't a co-religionist. So Jews had to start hospitals because they couldn't get treatment in other hospitals. There's such a thing as Long Island Jewish. All these why does a hospital need a religious affiliation? That's where it's from, by the way. But anyway, so let's say you have a hospital that's owned by a Jew, and there are plenty of non-Jews being treated in the hospital. So do those rooms need a mezuzah? So they're only being cared for as long as they're only cared for in the hospital, and so long as they're there, the hospital has to provide them with room and board. But the real service that the hospital is providing them with is the care, is the medical care. It's not the room and board. The room and board is incidental. It might also, that svara might apply to yeshiva dorms. The students aren't, well, it depends. Right, and they have a dorm fee now. So if in yeshiva university, there's a dorm fee, from what I understand, a pretty significant dorm fee. No, is it a controversial thing? I don't know, but
it just keeps going higher.
What? It just keeps going higher. Okay, so whatever it is, there's a dorm fee. So this, if you have a yeshiva, let's say like Ner Yisrael or some other dorm yeshiva, I don't think they have a dorm. I think they have a tuition, and it's understood if you're in the yeshiva, you live in the dorm. That's one of the things that the yeshiva provides you with. So the students aren't paying for the room and board; they're paying for their education, and the yeshiva is obligated to provide that perk. So as such, it's the administration's responsibility, not the students' responsibility, to put up a mezuzah. But if you're paying a dorm fee, if you're lucky enough to go to Yeshiva University and you pay a dorm fee, so then you're renting the room. If you rent the room and you stay there for more than 30 days, you're the one that's chayiv mezuzah, not the administration. They're not the ones that are supposed to put up mezuzah. That they provide you with. That's a chesed that they take care of you with. Okay, so next issue I want to discuss is places that are, by definition, temporary types of places. Shulchan Aruch and Reish Pei Vav, Sefer Aleph, Shulchan Aruch writes, Sukkos HaChag B'Chag, V'Habayis Shebesvina, and the most important one for us, V'Hachanuyos Shebashukim Peturim. Three things that are apart from mezuzah. A sukkah, okay, I think most of us do not have a mezuzah on our sukkah. A houseboat, I think most of us don't have houseboats. And Chanuyos Shebashukim, stores in the market, don't require a mezuzah. So what's going on over here? Stores, does that mean I own a shop, I own a coffee shop, go up and down Central Avenue, they all have mezuzahs. Even the non-Jewish ones probably have mezuzah. They all have mezuzah. They always put a mezuzah on the store. An office is a store the same as an office. So what you need to understand is what's the yesod of this halacha, and then we'll be able to figure out if it's every store, is it every office also, is it a place of work? Yeah.
Didn't we have? I forgot who said from one of the previous sources that Davka, the stores that like on Monday and Thursday they would go to the market and be like a temporary hut.
Oh, so there's it's a discussion. It's a machlokas. So let's talk about this. Okay, the Pischei Tshuva by Sukkos, the Pischei Tshuva quotes a daya that if you have like the Rabbi Tendler Sukkah where the roof comes off the dining room, and then they put the schach on. So Pischei Tshuva quotes a daya that you need to remove your mezuzah throughout Sukkos because the Sukkah doesn't require a mezuzah, and put it up again after Sukkos because otherwise it would be tasav lamanasli. Pischei Tshuva then quotes the Arba Turei Even, who says, no, it doesn't require a new place for the mezuzah for a variety of reasons. Number one, he says, the room is a room that you live in throughout the year and doesn't get the p'tur of Diras Arai. Sukkah's pater because it's Diras Arai. But if your sukkah happens to be in a place that's a room that you use throughout the rest of the year, so then it wouldn't get the p'tur. Prima Gadim seems to disagree with this. He says anything that's used for the mitzvah of sukkah is automatically called a Diras Arai. The halacha of sukkah makes it a Diras Arai. It's koveya shem Diras Arai on it for all halachas, which is a very fascinating understanding. Mishum Brura and Tafresh Chavav in Hilchas Sukkah quotes such a day from the Prima Gadim. Pischei Tshuva also says the problem of Tasav Lamanasui is only an issue if the mezuzah was originally placed at a time when it wasn't chayiv. Meaning, if you put your mezuzah on that room during Sukkos and then left it there, that would be the problem. But if you originally put it there, then Sukkos came, then Sukkos ended, but you originally put it there before Sukkos, that would be fine, that wouldn't be Tasav Lamanasui. And the third explanation, Rav Moshe, Nigris Moshe, or Chaim Chalakei, Simin Mem, Os Aleph, says that even if the room is part throughout Sukkos, there's no problem for the mezuzah to stay there, because just like a socher keeps the mezuzah up in the home after he moves out, and the next person could use it, and in the interim no one was living there, for a couple of days the house was empty, so that's okay, it's still fine, it's a continuation of the first time that it was put up. But anyway, what's the yisod by sukkah? Is that it's a diras arai yisod, it's considered that it's not a permanent place to live. Shulchan Aruch exempts houseboats from mezuzah, so the Aruch HaShulchan says, he doesn't really mean houseboats where a person lives. He means a boat where you have a bedroom and whatever else, but it's not a place where you actually live. If you live on a boat and that's your permanent place of living, then of course it requires a mezuzah. I mean, it's in this halacha of temporary residence. Anything that's very temporary in nature is going to be pater from mezuzah. So sukkah diras arai, a boat is a diras arai. You might go on a cruise for 2 weeks, but it's only a diras arai. You would never want to live. The cruise is great. You would never want to live on the boat. You want to live in a normal house. So that brings us to stores, chanuyos. So Shulchan Aruch says that stores are pater from mezuzah. Why? So there are two deos in Rishonim / Achronim. The Shach in Sifkat and Chav Aleph says that stores are pater from mezuzah because they're only considered diras arai. Context of the Shulchan Aruch's psak tells you that that should be correct, right? He says it in the context of sukkah and houseboats. So it makes sense that stores are also, it's an issue of diras arai. The Rambam, however, in Perek Vav Halacha Tes, writes that the sukkah and the houseboat, they're pater because of diras arai. Stores are pater because it's not a dira bichlal. Meaning, I do live in my sukkah, but only for 7 days. I do live in my houseboat, but only when I'm floating around. But I never live in my store. It's pashut not a shame dira bichlal, says the Rambam. The Taz, Sivkot and Yud, says, many people spend more time in their stores than they do in their homes. So shouldn't that make it, or in their offices, more time in their offices than they do in their homes? How could you call it a diras arai? You spend so much time there. Says, yeah, but you don't sleep there. So it's not where you live. No matter how high-powered an attorney you are, and no matter how many 16-hour days you put in, someone says, what's your home address? You don't give your office address. You give your home address. So it's not the place that you live. No matter what happens, the place that you sleep at night, where you have your bed, that's the place that you live. So the poskim have machlokas, what type of store is included in this patur? The Taz says any store that you don't sleep in at night is pat from mezuzah. So it turned out that if you don't sleep at night in your office, there are some people that do sleep at night in their office, but if you don't sleep at night in your office, then you'd be pater from mezuzah in an office. Now, if it's you have an office in your home, so then probably it does require mezuzah, but that's what it would turn out according to the Taz. Pischi Tshuva, however, quotes from the Sefer Yada Ketana, who says that the patur from stores only applies to, as what Blisko was saying before, only applies to like a hot dog stand, or like a hot pretzel stand. You put it up and you take it down at the end of the day and you move it away. Meaning it's a place that's constructed on a day by day basis as you're going in on the Yom HaShuk. That's why Lashon Shulchan Aruch was not Chanuyos are Pater, Chanuyos Shebeshukim, Chanuyos that are in the Shuk, they're Pater. Those kinds of stores where they set up their little stands in the market, those kinds of stores are Pater. Now, L'chora, the Taz points out in his own defense, the Yad HaKetana's basic raya is, he says, it doesn't make any sense to pater a store. Why does it make no sense to pater a store? Well, because you don't sleep there, it's pater. Do you sleep in your Beis HaEitzim or Beis HaTeven, in your, Otsos Yayin V'Shemen? Do you sleep in a lot of places that you don't sleep in your dining room either? And your dining room requires a mezuzah. You don't sleep in your TV room. You don't sleep in any of these places. They all require mezuzah. Only your bedroom should require mezuzah. Adrabah, we thought maybe the bedroom shouldn't require mezuzah because sometimes omdos shamarumos or whatever, right? But so you have to dafka sleep there. And plus, he says it should be no worse, right? Like we just said, no worse than a storage facility. You at least keep stuff in your store. So it's a medrash at least that's chayiv and mezuzah. So the Taz in his own defense says that you can't compare it to a storage facility. Storage facility is used primarily for storage. That's what it's used for. So storage as a usage is chayiv and mezuzah. The store, on the other hand, is used for people to go shopping. It's not even really used for you to. I mean, the primary use of the store is not for you to mind the shop. You're only minding the shop so that people can go shopping, and then you can take home money at the end of the day. But it's really for people to go shopping. People spend a few minutes, you know, or an hour on occasion going into a store, whatever, to go shopping. So it's not a place where you could just like stop move in. I'm told the Apple I stores, those you can move into if you want to. They don't. I just got an email. Someone put a goat into an Apple I store, and no one stopped it. You can do whatever you want. Got pizza delivered there. You get whatever you want. So they'll never stop you. They're very understanding. But most normal stores, they're you can't just bring a cot, you know, move in and yeah.
What would be the thing in the case where you have like a store, like in the city, when they have like a store on the bottom of the floor and then like apartments on top? So like a lot of times, like the store owner like live in one of the apartments, and maybe like the store is like part of the house.
If you need to go through the store to get there, so then it may be chayiv mitam a beis shar, right, toward his home.
I was saying in the Gemara Yuma that when the Anoshim were Miskashdos, that was, at least it was a Havamina, that would even make it be a Dira, Makam Dira, whatever.
Right.
So, like, what's the Svar there? Because they're not, like, sleeping there or anything. They're just using it a little bit, and so that's enough for
right. Dira. Yeah. It sounds like, because Miskashdos is more of a Dira type activity than selling things,
like
I guess.
A few minutes a day.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to be makdir, because it sounds like it's not based on time per se. So what types of activities do you live there? Do you do living there type of activities? One of the things you do in a place where you live is you get dressed up, but you don't sell things in a place where you live, right? Or buy things in a place where you live. So Aruch HaShulchan says the patur from stores is only within the sheet of the Rambam, that storage facilities are also patur from mezuzah, and he thinks that machlokas remains unresolved by stores and offices, so you put up a mezuzah but don't make a bracha. I think that's the minhag. I don't know if people make brachas when they put up a mezuzah, but I think the minhag is to put up a mezuzah but without a bracha on stores and storage facilities and things of that nature. Now, next, and this is I've been wanting to get to this all summer, so I'm gonna in the next packet. Let's skip the jointly owned places and stuff for now. Skip to the very end. What? Yeah, we'll see. Rooms that are less than dollar al dollar amos. So there's the Gemara Maseches Sukkah Daf Gimel, and this is very nogea to. We're gonna see this. We're gonna discuss basically walk-in closets. Which obviously is very okay in this neighborhood. And a lot of the houses are built that way with plenty of walk-in, you know, with at least one or more walk-in closets. So the doorway, when you have a doorway to a closet that just opens up, so even though it's a Tzuras HaPesach, if, you know, it's just that there's stuff hanging there, but you don't go into it, so it's not a doorway that's for a Knesset V'Yetziyah. And as we saw before, one of the requirements of the mezuzah is only if the door is made for Knesset V'Yetziyah, where you're supposed to go in and come out. So walk-in closet is Knesset V'Yetziyah. So you go in, come out, so then there's what to talk about. But we have to discuss this halach of dalar al dalar amos to really come to a proper understanding. So the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Gimel tells us that there are a few halachos that are based on dalar al dalar amos. Number one, a bayis that's less than dalar al dalar amos, pata from mezuzah. A bayis less than dalar al dalar amos, pata from makkah. Remember, we learned that Makkah also has to be a base dira in order to be chayiv b'Makkah. So if it's pachas min dalar dalar amos, pachas from Makkah. Third halacha, the Gemara says, if it's less than dalar dalar amos, it doesn't connect two cities. It doesn't make a chibur between two ayaros in terms of tchum shabbos. That if you have karfeif bin ear to ear, I don't want to get into the whole tchum shabbos issue, but roughly 141 amos between two cities, and there's a house that connects them, so that would be that would make it one large Tchum Shabbos. Now, the Rambam writes that even if the room is rectangular, but there are 16 square amos, that would be enough to be chayiv mezuzah. That Rambam is in your packets in source number 43. So look at the Rambam, and the lashon is important. The Rambam says, "Bayis she'in lo arba amos al arba amos, patur min mezuzah." If the room has space where you could square off 4x4 amos, afal pishahu agul obal chamesh zavios, even if it's round or has five corners, the ein sarich lomar shim haya arko yesra al rachbon, certainly if it's rectangular, hol v'yeshpo l'raveya arba amos al arba amos chayiv b'mezuzah. If it has 16 square amos, it's chayiv mezuzah. That's certainly the pashut pshat in the Rambam. The Taz, which we can't read right now because it's very long, in source number 44, reads this Rambam differently. Taz in Or Chaim, Tav Reish Lamed Dalet in Hilchos Sukkah, he reads this Rambam differently. In the Taz's view, the Rambam would not require a mezuzah on a room if either of the two dimensions, the length or the width, is less than dalet amos, regardless of its square footage. You could have 800 square feet, but if it could be a whole house that's only 4 feet wide, but goes all the way, you know, very, very deep, would not require a mezuzah. And the Taz points this out based on the fact that all poskim agree when it comes to a sukkah, what's the shear of a sukkah? It's got to be zayin tfachim al zayin tfachim. What if it's vav tfachim by 10 amos? Is it chayiv in is it a kosher sukkah? So all the poskim agree by sukkah that it's a pasul sukkah. So since this is, and why is this gemara in sukkah daf gimel? Because there's one shita in Tanaim that a sukkah needs to be dalet amos al dalet amos. We don't pass now. We pass now with Shammai, but the shita of Rebbe is that a sukkah needs to be dalet amos al dalet amos. So if it seems like it should be the same basic gedarim of the din. So if by sukkah we don't square it off. So by mezuzah we shouldn't either, says the Taz.
Why should we say that if the whole reason for Zayin al Zayin was that that's the minimum a person could be able to fit in there and have a tevach there in order to like move in order to live in the sukkah? Here you're living in whatever room there is no matter what.
Not just that you're living no matter what, it's also the main purpose of mezuzah is, like we kept on saying, to remind you of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, right? And you make that your home and it's a place where you're constantly going to be. So, good. So that's the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva, in Yerodei Asim Reish Pei, writes that the reason we're more willing to obligate a room in mezuzah than we are to certify it as a kosher sukkah is that, again, the mezuzah is there to remind us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, whereas the sukkah is based on what's actually technically called a dira per se. Same with makkah. That explains why when it comes to qualifying an area for Hilchos Shabbos, it has to be four tefachim, both deep and wide. But for mezuzah, we're interested just in the square amos, not in the depth and the width. Chaznish, source number 46, doesn't like this chassam sofer. Chaznish thinks that the Gemara mentions halachas of mezuzah along with halachas of sukkah and makkah because it has the same gedarim. So you can't distinguish between the different gedarim, and if it's less than dalet amos, it should not require a mezuzah. The Beis Yosef quotes the sheet of the Rush that rooms that are less than dalet amos are patur from mezuzah, even if it's very long. So basically, what do we have so far? Pashup Shad and Rambam chayiv mezuzah. If it's less than dalet amos in one direction, more than dalet amos in another direction, 16 square amos total. Pashup Shad and Rambam chayiv mezuzah. Taz has a creative reading of the Rambam. He says patur from mezuzah. The Rush, patur from mezuzah. Halacha, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, 16 square amos, chayiv mezuzah, even if the width is less than 4 amos. But since it's a machlokas, it seems reasonable, the Shach points out, to not make a bracha on such a room. Good. That's if it's a room that you use that's less than dalet al dalet amos. Now, if your walk-in closet, therefore, is 16 square amos, l'chora, it should be a no-brainer what you do. Right? What should you do? Put a mezuzah on the right side going into the walk-in closet. Right? If it's 16 square amos, even if it's not dalet amos in both directions, typically we'll assume about 7 feet is 4 amos. So you would measure, set, you know, you take a, whenever I go to people's houses to check if they need mezuzah, always bring a tape measure, otherwise it's a waste of time to come to the house. I'm not going to be able to tell them anything. So you would measure if it's got 4 amos in both directions, or 4 amos in one direction, but it's made up for by the square footage in the other direction, that would require mezuzah on the right side going in. It's a room of your house, right? That's pashut. A lot of walk-in closets, though, do not have 16 square amos. They'll be 6 feet by 7 feet, or 5 feet by 8 feet, whatever it is, not 16 square amos. So in that situation, does it need a mezuzah? Does it not? So Svara, what do you think? Walk-in closet? So we just said it's a room that's less than dollar amos. Why would it require a mezuzah? Of course it should be patur from mezuzah. What? But even a Beis Otz is only chayiv, it's dollar amos, right? This is one of the basic requirements of room, it's got to be dollar. So there are two shitos to be aware of that seem to conflict with each other. There's the shita of Rabbi Kiva Eger and the shita of the Chamudei Daniel. So again, pashup shat, before we have any chidushim, a walk-in closet that's less than dollar, less than 16 square amos, patur from mezuzah, right? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, the walk-in closet connects the closet to the room. So the closet's not chayiv a mezuzah, but all entranceways into the room need a mezuzah. So, l'may nafka mina, if you're coming into the room from the main doorway that goes into the room from the hallway, or if you're coming into the room from the walk-in closet that you were just hanging out and picking out your clothing. What difference does it make? Either way, it's an entranceway into the room. So therefore, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, you're going to be chayiv a mezuzah, but not on the right side going into the walk-in closet, on the right side going out of the walk-in closet into the room.
Can you say it's a continuation of the room?
You could certainly say that. You could certainly say that, yes. And that is l'chora of the Pasha Pshat, is that it should be Rav Moshe, in Igros Moshe, Yerdei Chel Gal, Sim Kuf Pei Aleph, at the very end of the Tshuva, he disagrees with this Rabbi Kiva Eger, and he says, big difference. You don't enter the room through the walk-in closet unless you were already in the room. So therefore, it's just a continuation of the room. It's not, so that's exactly, a room that's less than dalet al dalet amos, it doesn't have to be a freestanding, you know, room in order to fit the discussion of the Gemara of being patur from mezuzah. A room that's off of another, it's batel to the bigger room, it's part of the bigger room. It's just the closet of the bigger room. That's chiddush number one, Rabbi Kiva Eger. Chiddush number two is the Chamudei Daniel. Chamudei Daniel is quoted by the Piskei Tshuva. It's quoted a few times in Piskei Tshuva, you find it. Chamudei Daniel in Sivkat Niralf in Resh Pei Vav, in Piskei Tshuva, Sivkat Niralf in Resh Pei Vav, in the name of Chamudei Daniel, says that the whole din of dalet al dalet amos is based on the assumption that dalet al dalet amos is the amount of space a person needs to live. It's the amount of space you need to do whatever it is that you do in most rooms. Normally, a kitchen is not functional unless it's Dalal Dalaramos. A bedroom is not functional unless it's Dalal Dalaramos. A dining room is not functional unless it's Dalal Dalaramos. A closet, though, could be very functional, even if it's less than Dalal Dalaramos. Okay, maybe not in the five towns, but in other places, a closet may be considered functional if it's, you know, smaller than, let's say, the average size apartment in Mei Sharim. You know, it could still be a very functional closet. So if that's the case, if a closet can be functional less than Dalaramos, says Chamudit Daniel, Dalaramos is not a din that's, you know, set in stone. It's a din in functionality. So as long as a closet is functional, Mimela, it's considered a room. The Rashash in Sukkot Daf Gimel brings a raya to this Chamudit Daniel from a comment of the Gemara. The Gemara says that a house that's less than Dalaramos can't connect two cities for the purpose of Tchum Shabbos because the Gemara says it's not usable for what it's meant to be used for. It's not usable for its primary function. Mashmaos is that anything that is usable for its primary function, Mimel is considered a room. So according to Chamudi Daniel, walk-in closet, that's functional as a closet, Chayv Mezuzah, right side going in. So basically, at the end of the day, we got three possibilities. We have the possibility of no mezuzah at all. If it's dalar al dalar amos or even 16 square amos, nothing to talk about. You chayv mezuzah right side going in. We're talking about a walking closet that's less than dalar al dalar amos. So now you have three possibilities. Either it's patur from mezuzah because the halacha is less than dalar al amos patur from mezuzah, or it's chayv mezuzah but Rabbi Kiveger right side going out of the closet into the room, or chamudi Daniel, it's chayv mezuzah right side going in from the room into the walk-in closet. So great. So what do we do? So I always tell people is pashut pshat. It's not chayv mezuzah. It's a worthwhile chumrah. It's a reasonable chumrah to put up a mezuzah. Question is, which side are you going to put up a mezuzah? So if you're of Moshe, no problem. You don't like Rabbi Kiveger. I mean, you like Rabbi Kiveger. You don't like Rabbi Kiveger's psak, and you're going to say right side going in. You're going to be choshish for the chamudi Daniel. However, I just saw tonight for the first time in the Sefer Pischi Mezuzos, he points out that the mashmas of the Chazon Ish is that the Chazon Ish held like both Rabbi Kiveger and the Chamudi Daniel. What does that mean? How can you hold like Rabbi? One assumes that the other is incorrect, right? Doesn't it have to be that way? So he says the ain't stira mimasha pasa gam Rabbi Kiveger. The fact that the Chazon Ish is chashish for the Chamudi Daniel, the svir lel Chazon Ish she'efshar she'af Rabbi Kiveger moda to be miyuchal the tashmisho chashiv kicheder b'fnei atzmo. That even Rabbi Kiveger will admit that if it is miyuchad for a certain usage and you're using it as such, it's chayiv as its own room. Rabbi Kiveger's whole chiddush was b'makom that you're not really using it; it's not really usable. It's just stam, this little room off of your room, off of a larger room, that's really not usable. That's where Rabbi Kiveger says you would put a mezuzah on the right side going out of that room into the larger room. But if it's an actual functional room that's less than dalar al dalar amos, maybe even Rabbi Kiveger will be more than the Chamudi Daniel. So, when you put it all together, what I would suggest is, if you have... Again, Meikar Adin, I really believe, doesn't require mezuzah. Okay. Now, if you have Rabbi Kiveger and the Chamudi Daniel, and you have the Rav Moshe rejecting Rabbi Kiveger entirely, and you have the Chazon Ish saying, or possibly the Chazon Ish saying, that Rabbi Kiveger is only b'makom, that it's not, that the Chamudi Daniel won't apply. So I would think it's more mistaver to be machmir for the Chamudi Daniel than to be machmir for Rabbi Kiveger. So if you want to take on the chumrah of putting a mezuzah on the walk-in closet, more mistaver to put it on the right side going into the closet than on the right side going out. But there's one more complicating factor over here. One more complicating factor. And that is, I once asked Rav Dov Weinberger about this, and he said, just don't remember that you're not supposed to measure, when you measure the walk-in closet, you're not supposed to measure the built-in things in the closet that hold the clothing. The clothing racks and the shelves and the... You're not supposed to count any of that in the Cheshbon Dalar al Dalar Amos. What? Why wouldn't you count that in the Cheshbon of Dalet Adalet Amos? So there is a machlokas about this. Some hold, well, first of all, any kli that's movable certainly counts in the Cheshbon Dalet Adalet. I mean, you don't say, okay, I'm going to measure my living room, but I won't count the space of the couches. No, couch is movable, it's not built. Anything that's not built in furniture is pashut, that would get counted toward the Dalet Adalet Amos. What if you have something that's not movable? So, over here you have a machlokas in the poskim. He quotes over here in the Piskei Mezuzos, Yesh mi shahora, and he's quoting from the Tshuvas Yaskil Avdi, Te enu memayit el kshabonim me'akarka ad hatikra, that you would only not count it if it's floor to ceiling. If it's anything less than floor to ceiling, it counts as part of the measurement of the room. Yesh mi shakasa, shebekol ofen ein mematim af bikvuin. Some say, I don't care even if it is built in furniture, even if it does go from the floor to the ceiling, and he's quoting over here the Tshuvas Marsham, you do measure it together with the room. So let's say you're measuring a kitchen, tiny kitchen in Israel. You go to Gross for the year or something, and they get a tiny little kitchen. So, but there are pantries and cabinets that go floor to ceiling, let's say. I've never actually been to the Gross apartments. I don't know if there are or aren't. Whatever. So the kitchen is very tiny. And so do you measure that area or the walk-in closets? It's very nogeya. Because again, if the walk-in closet is dalet adalet amos, it's pashut that it's chayiv in mezuzah. Right? It's pashut that it's going to be chayiv in mezuzah. So it's going to be a huge nafkamina if it's dalet adalet amos or not. And it could be, we'll make a nafkamina which side to put the mezuzah on if you hold the Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So this is a major machlokas aposkin. So where this is also nogeya is the following situation. Someone just asked me tonight before we started shiur, what about a boiler room? In the basements of your homes, there's this scary, dark room where things make noise, and it's always warmer than the rest of the house. That's the boiler room. So is that chayiv mezuzah? So that's a very common question. Now, what would you say? So how would you think about this? Is it a room that's used as a dira in any way? So one might say, well, it's a storage facility. It's where I store my boiler. Why is that not a valid suggestion? Right, you don't store your boiler. You store wine, you store... Right, you don't store your boiler. So the question is, though, so if the boiler room is just a boiler room, it just has a boiler in it, and that's it, that's all it's got, so l'chora, it should be pater from the system. But a lot of times there's other space in the room and people will put boxes or whatever, they'll store things in the room. They'll actually use it for storage. And we said, we paskin la'alacha, that you put a mezuzah without a bracha in a storage room. So if the room is also used for storage, which it often is, so now you got to measure, is it dalet adalet amos? How do you measure the dalet adalet amos? Do you count the boiler? Do you not count the boiler? Right? This stuff is never moving. It's built-in furniture, so to speak. It's never moving. Does that get counted into the measurement of dalet adalet amos? So it would seem the boiler is pretty big also. It's more than 10 tefachim off the ground and everything. So, and it never moves. So it would seem that you might have yourself a svek sveka to pater. You might have yourself a svek sveka to pater. Because if it's long-term kind of storage, I'm saying, not if it's yayin v'shemen, if it's the kind of storage that you would be garage kind of storage, which a lot of times it is. The boiler room is just stuff you put away once a year kind of storage. So if it's long-term kind of storage, so you always have the sheet from Rishonim that it's pater from mezuzah anyway, and the sheet from Rambam, right? It's pater from mezuzah anyway, and even if it were chayiv in mezuzah, so maybe you're not supposed to measure the area of the boiler anyway. Again, assuming that without the area of the boiler it would be less than dalet adalet, so then that might be a svek sveka l'ptur. The question then is, by a svek sveka hilchos mezuzah, do we say that svek sveka yipater, or are we always just machmir on the safek and hilchos mezuzah? It's a major discussion in the poskim whether we apply svek sveka to say pater in hilchos mezuzah. I just came across that tonight. Also, in the back of the Masifta, he has a whole piece on svek sveka. On he says he has navni nezer in Or Chaim Tav Pei Dalet Os Yud Beis that tam lahachmir b'mitzvah say af b'svek sveka based on the pnei yeshu and ksubis, that the whole reason. that we say svek sveka lekula in the daraisa is because we mentioned this once before that svek that is assuming like the shita's Rambam that svek daraisa lechumra is only din drabanan, so svek sveka becomes svek drabanan lekula. Well, that won't work by a mitzvah saseh. That will work by an iser, but by a mitzvah saseh, what do you mean? Svek daraisa. So he says it would turn out when you have. B'mitzvah sasei sha'afla Rambam savik daraisa l'chumra min haTorah, because by mitzvah sasei even the Rambam holds savik daraisa l'chumra is a din daraisa. It's only by an iser that he holds savik daraisa l'chumra is a din darabanan. So then it would turn out you wouldn't have the whole hezbro of svek sveka. That's the sheet of the Avnei Nezer. So it's a major discussion about svek sveka and mitzvah sasei in general. So maybe you should require mezuzah in general. Try to, you know, mezuzah is a one-time purchase, so it's not a kind of thing where chumras are that difficult. Might as well be machmir whenever whenever it's reasonable to be mezuzah, because you buy it once and you leave it there, and that's if you don't have enough, I would certainly not put it on the rooms that have sveikos before I leave out rooms that don't have sveikos. Okay, I guess we'll close with that. There's more there for your reading pleasure over the course of the summer. Thank you very much again, and there will be a parsha shiur after Maariv.